The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or are at print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from mirausa.org. That's M-I-R-A-U-S-A. Apply for a dog. Parents or students may call the office at any time during this process for further information or clarification. We are always glad to speak with you. Once all of the above information is received in our office, we will arrange for a phone interview with the applicant and family. The pairing of a MiraGuide dog with an eligible student includes extensive evaluation of the student's ability and need, readiness and mental stability, assessment of orientation and mobility skills. Contact with the applicant and the applicant's family is ongoing, as is continuing monitoring of specific orientation and mobility skills. In-person meetings with family and the child enable us to determine the ability of the child to work with a guide dog. An evaluation weekend at Mira Canada in the province of Quebec is held for all eligible applicants and their families, in which these skills are analyzed to determine readiness. At this weekend, the student is given the opportunity to walk with a Mira guide dog to further evaluate the effectiveness of a guide dog for the child. Parents will have hands-on opportunities to experience the training, to meet other potential candidates and their families, and to ask additional questions and to gather information. Not every student who is invited to this evaluation weekend will be eligible to receive a guide dog at this time. There are times when the trainers make suggestions for students to work on so that perhaps the youngster will be able to get a guide dog another year. Safety is a primary responsibility, and it is foremost in our minds as we go through the evaluation. If accepted, a month of intense training takes place at the Mira Canada's campus in July of the selection year. If students are invited to the training center, additional information will be sent about the next phase, training at the Mira Center in Canada in July. The month-long training process will enable the child and the trainers to know if the criteria for successful handling of the dog are sufficient for safety. If there is concern that the child and the dog will not be safe, the student may not receive a guide dog that year. After the 30 days of successful intensive training, individual follow-up sessions take place at the specific intervals in each child's hometown. These are conducted by the Mira Canada trainers to be sure the guide dog and the child become familiar with the appropriate routes traveled in their community and school. Each of these sessions can last several days. Our Mira dogs are provided free of charge to eligible students. The process of matching and training a child to work with a dog is intense. We are delighted to work on the process and are so pleased with the results of successful pairings of youngster and guide dog. Note, our guide dogs are provided to youngsters between the ages of 11 and 16, but the process can take some time. It is not unusual for parents of children as young as 9 to inquire about a guide dog and begin the process with us. All forms will be sent from our office. Additional information required during the application process: a complete application form, a completed form and report from the ophthalmologist explaining the cause and degree of blindness, a completed form and report from the pediatrician explaining in detail the health of the child indicated any physical or psychological difficulties, a report and video from the orientation and mobility specialist showing the current level of ability, a copy of the latest individual education plan, a statement from the student and parents as to why a guide dog is requested. From NFB.org, how to get the technology your child needs. American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults. From Future Reflections, Special Issue on Technology. By Sanho Steele Luchart and Ather Jamoa. That's SanhoSteeleLuchart and Ather Jamoa. From the editor, Stanhope Steele-Luchar is a legal program coordinator at the National Federation of the Blind. Arthur Jamoa is an assistive technology trainer and a graduate of NFP's IEP Advocacy Academy. He contracts with the Departments of Education and Vocational Rehabilitation Agencies to teach blind students of all ages. Today, a well-written and enforceable individualized education program, IEP, is more important than ever before. As accountability for school districts diminishes, the success of blind children depends upon specialized instruction, materials, and technologies that are advancing every day. Regrettably, practical constraints often combine with attitudinal barriers, resulting in districts that are content to give blind students tools that are decades behind those of their sighted peers, and sometimes no tools at all. The National Federation of the Blind hears regularly from families of blind children that their local school districts fail to provide accessible technology or the services required to ensure that a student can use that technology effectively. Section 300.105A of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Improvement Act of 2004, IDEA, states each public agency must ensure that assistive technology devices or assistive technology services, or both, are made available to a child with a disability if required as part of the child's 1. Special education plan, 2. Related services, or 3. Supplementary aids and services. The Act also states what the use of school-purchased assistive technology devices in a child's home or in other settings is required if the child's IEP team determines that the child needs access to those devices in order to receive a free and appropriate public education, FAPE. This means that a district may not implement a practice, policy, or procedure barring blind students from learning and using accessible technology at home and in the classroom as needed. Parents of blind public school students cannot be forced to pay for their blind children's accessible technology, hire teachers to train them on that technology, or to leave it at school if the child needs to use it at home. Section 300.5 of IDEA defines assistive technology as any item, piece of equipment, or product system, whether acquired commercially off the shelf, modified, or customized, that is used to increase, maintain, or improve the functional capabilities of a child with a disability. Importantly, this means that anything from a cane or tactile graph paper to a laptop or braille note taker falls neatly within the definition of assistive technology. School districts may not withhold these materials or the training to use these materials from the students who need them. The other complaint we receive most often from parents is that the district will not or cannot teach their child to read and write Braille. Here again, the Act mandates the IEP team must, in the case of a child who is blind or visually impaired, provide for instruction in Braille and the use of Braille unless the IEP team determines after an evaluation of the child's reading and writing skills, needs, and appropriate reading and writing media, including an evaluation of the child's future needs for instruction in Braille or the use of Braille, that instruction in Braille or the use of Braille is not appropriate for the child. We argue successfully that this is an extremely high bar to clear. It is the rare district, indeed, that is willing to commit in writing that a blind student will never need Braille in the future, regardless of how much residual sight that student has currently. It is also the case that the advent of Braille displays, Braille note takers, and Braille screen input have made Braille more ubiquitous than ever. Far from obsolete, Braille input and output are now go-to methods for using everything from cell phones to e-readers. It's one thing to recite the law, it's another thing entirely to get the school district to follow it. We appreciate that age and stage-appropriate Braille, technology, and orientation and mobility skills are usually the most contentious issues at a child's IEP meeting. Unless the family intends to move, they will be working with that district for years to come. This is why, no matter how well-versed in the law someone is, we recommend bringing an advocate associate or ally to a difficult IEP meeting whenever possible. This person is best situated to read the room, remain calm, and remind everyone of their legal obligations while remembering to center discussion around the child. When we examine a proposed IEP, we ask several key questions. What are the students' present levels as recorded in their last evaluations? How recently were those evaluations conducted? Were the evaluations accessible, reproducible, and valid? Which services are being provided? How often and by whom? How many service minutes does the student receive according to the existing IEP? And are those minutes being provided? Which accommodations are being provided for the student? Is the student receiving materials in an accessible format and at the same time as their sighted peers? Is the student being taught effective communication skills, including Braille and accessible technology? Is the blind student independently doing everything their sighted peers are doing, including reading, writing, traveling, self-advocating, and accessing devices? A district will sometimes claim that because of their teacher of the visually impaired, TVI, doesn't know how to teach Braille or access technology, the district doesn't have to provide instruction in these areas. This argument is incorrect. Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 and Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 both contain clear requirements that someone with a disability has the right to receive government communications in an accessible format. While the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act of 1975 and the Individuals with Disabilities Education Improvement Act of 2004 stipulate that the school district must provide the services for a student to access that effective communication, areas without teachers of blind students aren't exempt. Instead, such districts are expected to contract out, in person or online, to ensure that blind students have the instruction they need. The availability of remote instruction in 2025 means that no student should go without. Once evaluations are done, present levels established, and services promised, the IEP team must create goals and benchmarks that are legally binding. These goals must be relevant, measurable, and valid. A new teacher must be able to read the IEP, know which goals the child is working toward, know when the child has reached each goal, and recognize the conditions under which they should be able to do it again. The structure of a goal should read in this way. Student will do A in B out of C trials with D or fewer E as measured by F. Once age and stage appropriate goals and benchmarks are created, the team must assign sufficient monthly service minutes to meet those goals. Students who have been denied appropriate services may receive compensatory education, comp ed, before, during, or after the school day to help make up for lost time. Students needing additional services beyond the typical school year may benefit from an extended school year, ESY. Finally, we know that many instructors and administrators sincerely don't know where to start. Professionals seeking Braille fluency may contact Louisiana Tech University to inquire about Braille classes specifically for practicing teachers and paraprofessionals. Instructors wondering which technology skills students of different age ranges will need can review lists maintained by the NFB's Center for Excellence in Nonvisual Accessibility, the Perkins School for the Blind, and other organizations. Anyone wondering how to teach those technologies may contact the device manufacturers directly, download user materials, manuals, and watch training videos online. For more information, teachers and school administrators may contact Karen Anderson, Education Program Coordinator at K-A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N at nfb.org. Families seeking advocacy assistance may contact Sanjo Steele Luchar, Legal Program Coordinator at STEELE-LOUCHART at nfb.org, or Arthur Jamoa at ATHERJAMMOA at gmail.com. From ACB.org, status on the Department of Energy's direct final rule. The U.S. Department of Energy has placed a 60-day postponement on the direct final rule for building Section 504. This direct final rule would remove accessibility requirements and standards for new DOE-funded buildings, weakening protections for those with disabilities. The direct final rule was due to take effect on July 15, 2025. However, the rule has been postponed for 60 days for further review. Its postponement is a direct result of many disability rights organizations and members of the public voicing their opposition to this rule. More than 20,000 comments were submitted against the rule. Because of the public opposition and the postponement, the department is now required to review the comments submitted, which may prompt further evaluation or revision of the new rule. While the postponement is not a final withdrawal of this rule, it is important progress in protecting accessibility rights. Posted July 14, 2025. From ABC17News.com out of Baltimore, Maryland, Johns Hopkins students invent Braille label printer for local brewery and visually impaired workers. By Janie Reese, J-A-N-A-Y-R-E-E-C-E. A group of engineering students at Johns Hopkins University put their invention skills to work and delivered by building a printer that can add Braille to beer labels. It's a tool that can also be operated by blind or visually impaired people. This isn't an ordinary beer can label. It comes from a machine that can print beer can labels in Braille, and a team of students made it happen. Have your say. Leave a comment below and let us know what you think. On our team this year, it was myself, Catherine, and then my other teammates were Sophia, Gabriella, and Crystal, and we're all seniors, or we were all seniors, in the Johns Hopkins Mechanical Engineering Department, said Catherine Pollard, P-O-L-L-A-R-D, a recent mechanical engineering graduate of Johns Hopkins University. Pollard explained that she spent part of her last semester creating this one-of-a-kind Braille beer can label printer for Blind Industries and Services of Maryland, BISM. We said, can you come up with an automated process to feed a roll of labels through a printer and put the Braille on that label exactly where we need it? Asked Mike Goss, G-O-S-S-E, the president of BISM, the state's largest employer of blind and low-visioned workers. But how do we put Braille on other packaging, and particularly cylindrical objects? We needed to do this, partly for our upcoming Braille beer event, where we wanted to have a Braille label on our beer can. The students took a few months to design and build a machine capable of punching Braille into Braille text into plastic beer labels, as well as cardstock, glossy mailers, and other materials that commercial Braille-friendly printers can't do. Pollard and her team also developed the software that allows a printer to communicate with a Braille word processor, which the nonprofit can use in its office to create plastic labels. Our goals for the project were defined by the requirements that we had, so there were a few applications that BISM wanted to use the printer in. One of these was printing rolls of labels, another one was printing large sheets of paper, explained Pollard. A printer for the visually impaired. Not only are the labels printed in Braille, but the students designed it so that BISM employees with no or low vision can operate it. But we wanted to have an automated process and a more accessible process where you didn't have to be sighted to line up the label, said Goss, G-O-S-S-E. Accessibility means that blind people can go out and you can do almost every job that a sighted person can do. And that's why we want to make sure that when we think about everything we do here at BISM, I think we delivered something that would improve their lives. And that's something that you always get to see on the time scale of 1 year, said Pollard. According to Johns Hopkins, the students have already printed 400 labels for Blind Spot, a beer crafted by Baltimore's own Checker Spot Brewing Company in collaboration with BISM as part of an annual fundraiser for those with vision loss. The new printer will save BISM employees from having to use a manual press to punch Braille dots into more than 1,000 labels for their next fundraising event in 2026. Please note this content carries a strict local market embargo. If you share the same market as the contributor of this article, you may not use it on any platform. From AFB.org, Leading Together, Leveraging Change to Advance Our Vision. AFBLC 2025, American Foundation for the Blind Leadership Conference. At the Crystal Gateway Marriott Hotel in Arlington, Virginia, November 12th to 14th. Join us for the 2025 American Foundation for the Blind Leadership Conference, AFBLC, which will be held at the Crystal Gateway Marriott Hotel in Arlington, Virginia from November 12th to 14th. This year's conference theme is Leading Together, Leveraging Change to Advance Our Vision. The focus of the conference will be built on the dynamic reality that has been ensconced in our community in recent years. From the rapidly expanding fiscal austerity that has dramatically impacted legacy programs and institutions, to the seismic societal shift brought by artificial intelligence and other technologies, our world has witnessed significant change. While headlines increasingly highlight a growing sense of disruption, AFB believes that by coming together, we can leverage this change in a manner that propels our mission forward for the next generation of thought leaders, scholars, and practitioners committed to creating a world of endless possibilities for people who are blind or have low vision. Register. Registration for AFBLC 2025 is now open. Visit the registration page to sign up to attend or become an exhibitor. Find more information about the conference at the hot link, Register for AFBLC. Interested in sponsoring? Download the AFBLC 2025 sponsorship menu at the hot link to learn more, or email partners at afb.org with any questions. Program at a glance. The 2025 AFB Leadership Conference will bring together thought leaders, advocates, scholars, and practitioners, paving the way for positive change within the field of blindness and low vision. Key themes addressed in this year's conference will focus on leading during these rapidly changing times and exploring how innovative technologies like artificial intelligence continue to take center stage as services and tools are redefined. A detailed agenda is on the way. Check back soon for session topics and speakers. Network. Join us the evening of November 12th for a special welcome reception hosted by AFB's Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness, JVIB. Take time to reconnect with colleagues and meet the scholars who are conducting leading research in the field. Attendees will have additional time to foster relationships throughout the event, including another special networking reception the evening of November 13th, when we will celebrate 25 years of AFB's Access World magazine. Participants can also enjoy a dine-around experience. AFB staff will help connect new and returning attendees while highlighting the many excellent dining options that have emerged in Arlington in recent years. Inform and connect. Sessions will begin the morning of November 13th, beginning with a deep dive into the pressing issues of the day. Hear how leaders from across the field and community are navigating these rapidly changing times as government and services continue to be transformed. Then we'll welcome our 2025 keynote speaker, Dr. Joshua Miele, M-I-E-L-E, who has stood on the forefront of technological innovation for people with disabilities for over 30 years. His recently published memoir, Connecting Dots, A Blind Life, captures the spirit of a scientist determined to make the world more accessible, driven by the events of his own life. This engaging morning program will set the stage for a day and a half of breakout sessions and plenaries intended to inform and inspire attendees on what our pathway to success looks like during these changing times. Attendees are also invited to join AFB during our annual AFB Awards Luncheon, where we will be inspired by those formidable voices in our community who have made a lasting impact in society and broken down barriers to opportunity and independence for people who are blind or have low vision. Location. We are excited to hold this year's conference within the Beltway of our nation's capital. This year's conference will offer us a platform to hear from leaders all across all sectors in our field. It will provide a backdrop embodied in our nation's core values, advancing a narrative of independence, opportunity, and inclusion. It will also give us space to expand our network in a way that strengthens our collective voice and opens the door for future leaders. Arlington has long been recognized as a gateway to innovation, where the best and brightest minds converge to find real solutions to tackle the most significant problems of the day. Its proximity to transportation, iconic monuments, and key influencers allows attendees to recharge and recommit to our shared mission. This is one conference you won't want to miss. 2025 AFB Award recipients, the Miguel Medal. Dr. Bernadette Kappen, New York Institute for Special Education, NYISE, retired. Lucas Franck, The Seeing Eye, retired. Louis Braille, inventor of Braille. Learn more about the 2025 Miguel Medal recipients. Corinne Kirshner Research Award, Dr. Tiffany Wild, The Ohio State University. Learn more about the 2025 Corinne Kirshner Research Award recipient at her hot link. Lura Gund Leadership Award, that's LLURAGUND. Nicholas Cook Assistive Labs. Learn more about Lura Gund Leadership Award recipient at that hot link. Conference updates. Be sure to sign up for conference updates as a complete agenda will be published over the next couple of weeks. We are also excited to once again offer continuing education credits through ACVREP. Sign up to receive our annual leadership conference updates at that hot link. From LinkedIn.com by Dave Steele. Huge announcement, the film I'll Never See. For the past 2.5 years, my family and I have been working on something deeply personal, and now I can finally share it with you. This July on BBC One and BBC iPlayer, a brand new documentary will air as part of the BBC's acclaimed Our Lives series, Series 9, the film I'll Never See. This isn't just a documentary, it's my reality. A raw, honest glimpse into what it's like to live with vision loss, specifically the final stages of retinitis pigmentosa. It tells my story of facing the darkest moments of losing the last of my sight, and how I found purpose in that darkness through my work as the blind poet. Created by award-winning filmmaker Matt Hopkins and Signpost Productions, the film I'll Never See is a documentary like no other. It shines a light on what it truly means to live with an invisible disability. But it's not just about me, it's about the impact on my family. It's about my wife, my children, and how vision loss affects those we love just as much as it affects us. This documentary is part of the BBC's Our Lives strand, an inspiring documentary series that tells powerful stories of everyday people across the UK living through extraordinary circumstances. To be featured on this series is a huge honor, and now our story will be broadcast to the nation. The film I'll Never See, coming to BBC One and BBC iPlayer this July, exact date and time to be announced soon. The image shows me, Dave Steele, the blind poet, and my incredible son, Austin, whose love, strength, and presence helped carry me through. This film represents all those who's ever felt invisible. Let this be a reminder that our stories deserve to be seen, even if we can't see the film ourselves. Please share this far and wide. This is more than a film. This is a message. Representation matters. Our voices matter. And the time is now. I have just enough time left to tell you that NFB.org has a list of the 22 resolutions they passed at their conference and convention Saturday, July 12, 2025. Each resolution has its own hot link, and you can visit those 22 resolutions passed this summer at NFB.org. Well, I ran out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode was underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937, by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I am so glad to be back from my travels to see and talk to you. Have fun!